You're listening to Beyond Her Grind, the podcast that helps women of color who are exhausted and tired achieve a life of ease and reach fulfillment within their careers. I'm your host, Esther Leonard, a career coach, professional speaker, entrepreneur, frequent nap taker, and former grinder. Stay updated with bi-weekly episodes by subscribing to this podcast, and be sure to follow me on Instagram at Beyond Her Grind, and check out my website at beyondhergrind.com. Let's ease into it.
Hola, hola, ¿qué tal? I am still in the beautiful country of España, Spain, and it's a Sunday, and it's a chill day today. I know I'm recording this episode, but I set an intention this morning when I was journaling that I'll just go with the flow. I'll do what I want to do. And that is lay in bed, read, if I have an itch, record an episode. And that's what I'm doing. I was originally going to record this yesterday after meeting these amazing, amazing Black women. I joined a Black woman in Barcelona group, and someone reached out to interview folks who are living this digital nomad lifestyle. And I said, I'll do it. So I went, met up with her. She was with her friend, and we did this wonderful recording. I'll put the information in the description or podcast notes. And yeah, it was good. They were really kind and open, and they were like, hey, do you want to spend the day with us? And so that's what I did. I spent the day with them. I showed them around town, given that I've been here for about a month now, officially about a month now. And we spent the day out and about exploring Barcelona. I took them on the metro. They're not used to the metro. They're from Miami. They're used to cars. So it was good navigating and being sort of like their tour guide. We went to this famous market in Barcelona, and then we went to a Jamaican restaurant, which I was actually planning to go today with a group of women from Barcelona. But yesterday they were planning to go because they were actually in Barcelona for a day because they're on a cruise, and they heard about it from that group, that Facebook group. So I was like, I don't have to go 2 days in a row. I can have an Esther day today, Sunday. So it was always, you know, it's always good meeting other Black women, and especially creative Black women. Like, we're just so awesome. I mean, we just really do a great job at finding our own peace and happiness, you know? And I think both of the women I met did that. And I definitely want to feature them in future episodes of, yeah. So enough about that. Welcome to another episode of Beyond Her Grind. I'm your host, Esther, and you are listening to a podcast that helps women who are tired and exhausted live a life of ease and reach fulfillment within their careers. And so I, a career coach, a fellow speaker, an entrepreneur, I'm trying to live a life of ease with y'all. And I am sharing my journey, and if you stay updated, I have bi-weekly episodes, and so subscribe, follow me, check me out on Instagram at Beyond Her Grind, and check out my website at beyondhergrind.com. So let's dive in. So we're going to talk about ease. We're going to talk about burnout, right? And I'm going to specifically talk about how good things can lead to burnout. Yes, you heard right. Even the most positive aspects of our lives can push us to our limits. I had a wonderful day yesterday. I actually had a wonderful past 2+ weeks, busy, positive, traveling the continent, spending time with my sister. But I can admit I'm a little burnt out. Great things. And the reason why I want to talk about this is because I stumbled upon this intriguing concept while listening to a podcast by Stephen Bartlett called A Diary of a CEO. He had a guest, Dr. Aditi, and she had some really interesting insights about stress and burnout. And one concept, or a few concepts, stood out. And this was the idea that positive stress can lead to negative outcomes. So a few things came up. The resilience of two. This rule is based on a study that found a correlation between the number of life events. So whether these are good events or bad events, or, you know, conditions, things that people experience, and their likelihood of getting sick or falling ill towards the end of their life. And there's a correlation. More events, good and bad, the sicker you are. So essentially, our brain has a limit to how many positive changes we can handle at a time. And Dr. Aditi suggested on the podcast that trying to multitask, trying to take too many things at the same time actually makes us sick. So she gives an example of a patient trying to improve their health, and they start with focusing on so many different aspects of their health, right? Diet, maybe quitting smoking, meditation, spending time outdoors, deepening their relationships, starting therapy, you know, all these great things. And what she found is that most of the times, you know, she'll meet a patient and they'll do that. And then 2 months later, they're like, I can't do it anymore. And so she suggests, and she actually sort of prescribes her patients two things at a time. So she suggested that we focus on two incremental changes at a time and allow 8 weeks to form those new habits, because it takes about 8 weeks to start a new habit. After those 8 weeks, then you can add another two new changes into someone's life. So no wonder why I think a few episodes I talked about having a little bit of anxiety. And it makes sense. This trip, I finally got my one-way ticket back to Chicago, will be a total of about 7.5 weeks. So not even a total 2 months or a total 8 weeks. And I think I mentioned a few episodes ago that I'm slowly increasing the amount of time I need to be at a place. I think I said 6 weeks. Well, I think I said originally a month. Probably didn't state that in my podcast. 3 weeks to a month. Then I went to 6 weeks because I'm like, I need to adjust. I need some time to be in a routine. And then I need some time to get ready to leave again. So then I was like, man, 8 weeks based on this podcast. And I'm like, maybe I should buffer two extra weeks, you know, a week before the 8 weeks, a week after. So a good 10 weeks at a time. It might be longer now. It's looking like, you know, settling, not doing too much is good for you. So it's a simple yet powerful concept. When we try to do too much, even if it's for our own good, we risk burning out. And I can relate to this personally as I am navigating this nomadic life on this beautiful Mediterranean coast of Spain. You know, there's so much excitement, new places, adventure, new people. You know, I'm juggling new experiences like Spanish classes or joining a gym or a dance class. Great things. Looks awesome on the gram and on the TikTok. But it's stressful AF, super stressful. And I'm trying to balance this goal of mine or desire of mine of a life of ease, but I'm feeling tired. So yeah, I'm realizing that great things can also take a mental and physical toll on our bodies. So what can we do about it, right? Because we do want to pursue some of our dreams, right? Of self-improvement, travel, adventure, goals. You know, how do we do this without succumbing to stress and burnout? So in this episode, I'm going to really delve deeper into stress, how it impacts our bodies, the relationship between stress and illness. And then I'll also explore what it means to ponder this idea of doing less. You know, what do we have to let go of? How do we, can we change our mindset around certain things? So let's take a breath and dive in and unravel this topic. So I'm going to start off by talking about stress. What is stress? According to ChatGPT, stress is a natural response that your body has to any demand or challenge. It's your body's way of reacting to a perceived threat, whether the threat is real or imagined. When you encounter a stressful situation, your body releases hormones like adrenaline or cortisol, which trigger the flight or fight response. This response prepares your body to either confront the threat or flee from it. However, stress isn't a bad thing. In fact, a certain level of stress is needed. It's beneficial for you. We can't get away from stress. It can motivate you to action. It can sharpen your focus. It can help you perform better under pressure. This type of stress is known as positive stress. On the other hand, when stress becomes overwhelming, or chronic, and this could be both good and negative, it has detrimental effects on your mind and body. And it's typically known as distress or negative stress. And this can result in a range of issues, anxiety, depression, insomnia, and a weakened immune system. And this isn't good because more and more people are feeling stress. In 2023, the American Psychological Association survey results showed that 75% of Americans have had increased stress over the past year. And this definitely makes sense after COVID, right? You know, transitioning back into the normal, quote unquote, normal way of life, or readjusting to a new normal again. That's a lot of stress on top of just life stresses. So we're going through a lot as a people, as a global community, honestly. So let's talk about this stress. How does it impact our bodies? When you experience stress, your body goes into overdrive. So it triggers a cascade of physiological responses designed to help you deal with the perceived threat. One of the immediate effects of stress is increased heart rate and blood pressure. This is your body's way of pumping oxygen-rich blood to your muscles, preparing them for action if you need to fight or flee. While these responses can be helpful in the short term, chronic stress causes havoc to your body over time. Prolonged exposure to stress hormones can lead to a range of health problems, and they include cardiovascular issues. So chronic stress is correlated, actually a major risk factor in heart disease. It contributes to plaque in the arteries, leading to high blood pressure, heart attacks, and strokes. Digestive issues. Your stomach feeling some type of way? It might be due to stress. So stomach ulcers, irritable bowel syndrome or IBS, indigestion. You know, it's interesting because when I started my MBA, I think that was the first semester of my MBA, I was having some booty issues. I mean, I think it was a combination of things. I think it was stress. I think I was moving less as well. But yeah, I had constipation. There were some things happening. So that definitely could have been a factor. So in addition to these two issues, a weakened immune system, you get sick. You're more susceptible to illnesses and diseases when you're stressed. I don't know if y'all get a cold sore. I know if I am super stressed, there is a chance that a cold sore will pop up out of nowhere. Another thing that could happen, and I've seen this happen with me and with friends, where, you know, you just get a cold randomly and your body's just like, nope, not today. You're not going to work today. You're not going on the train today. You're not driving on that highway today. You are in bed. And your body is like, calm down, calm down. Another form of health problem that stress can cause is musculoskeletal tension. So then back aches, headaches, stiffness. So, you know, that back pain, you're doing too much. And then, of course, mental health disorders, which we've talked about, anxiety, depression, insomnia, you know, making it more difficult for you to handle and cope with regular daily situations. So in essence, stress basically takes a significant toll on your body, affecting everything from your cardiovascular health to your mental health. Remember what I mentioned earlier? I said that Dr. Aditi stated that the more stress in your body, or the more stress you have, the more stress you face, both positive and negative, the worse it is on your body. I have a lot of thoughts about this, so bear with me, because for the remainder of this episode, it's more of a stream of thoughts. I did write some of this down, but it has got me thinking. Yo, I'm still doing too much. I'm still doing too much. You know, I've been on this journey of rest, and I think I am doing less. I'm not in grad school, plus trying to nurture a relationship, a romantic relationship, plus working a full-time job, plus volunteering somewhere, plus working on one of my side hustles, like, plus having a social life, like, definitely less things. But I do think I am in a stage where I'm adding a lot of new dynamics. I've cut stuff out of my life, but I think that by adding new curveballs, one after another, even though they're good things, it impacts my stress levels. So I got to figure this out. Interestingly enough, I'm in Spain, and I saw an article that Spain is actually about to surpass Japan as the country with the longest life expectancy. So I'm in the right place. And I would say that one thing that the Spanish do right is rest, siesta. And it's not like the typical siesta that you think about where people just take a nap. You know, people work all over. Like I'm an hour away from Barcelona, the big city. So of course, people living in Barcelona, they're not going to come all the way back home for a 2-hour break. So there are still a lot of 9-to-5s here, but there's still this culture of taking a leisurely lunch or taking a break. You know, and then they also have these long paseos or these walks in the evenings. And so when I go along the sea, you see elderly people, you see families taking a walk like 7 p.m., 8 p.m. at night. And actually, I mean, over the weekends, of course. And yeah, like they just know how to calm down. And it also, interestingly enough, when I first started, I would try to do something. Like I'll probably wake up on a Saturday or Sunday late, get out of bed by 12:30, eat, and then it's like 1:30. And I'm like, oh, I need to get XYZ. And I look to see if the place is open, and it's closed until 3 o'clock or until 4 o'clock. So like hair salons, electronics stores, things like that. And I know it could be frustrating, but it's like they need a break. They need to chill. And it's nice that they don't have to rush for a 30-minute lunch break, you know, like we do in America, or an hour lunch break. They can take their time and really sort of unplug, in a sense, from work. So, yeah, that's good for their health. That's probably impacting their health. I mean, of course, there's other stuff. They have smaller portion sizes, a lot of other things. But I know based on this, like, I want a long life expectancy too. Like, y'all probably want that too. But I also want to learn how to play the guitar. I also want to master Spanish and Creole Haitien, Haitian Creole. I want to work on marketing for my podcast. I want to visit every continent. I want to visit every state. I want a romantic partner. All of these are good things. But I'm realizing that pacing matters a lot. And, you know, not only pacing, maybe I don't have to do everything. You know, having more, doing more, accomplishing more, achieving more is stressful. And it's correlated with illness. It's correlated with illness. So, you know, and kind of thinking about Spain again, if what's interesting, like, yes, Spain is a Western country, and Western countries on average tend to live longer than non-Western countries. But it's like, Spain is not the most developed Western country, you know, compared to other places like England or whatever. I mean, it's really developed. Great train systems, really developed. But it's not the most developed compared to the other one. So it's like, they have good healthcare. I would say that here. And that is a great correlation for life expectancy. So when you think about that, I guess my point is like, it's not about being super rich and super developed. It's about chilling, you know, not stressed out. Like even time here, you know, you'll get to the train station and they say they're going to leave at 9:23. They leave at 9:30. And you're at the first stop. There's no reason to be late at the first stop. And this happens several times. And I think their idea of time, their idea of, yeah, like it happens when it happens type of mentality. I think that's the mentality they have. It happens when it happens. So I'm not going to say that I'm not going to have goals. Like, goals are good for you. There's actually research that talks about that. You know, it's very beneficial for you to have goals, reach your goals. It helps you. It energizes you. It's good for your brain, those types of stuff. But maybe we don't have to visit every single continent in that short time period. Like, if you're trying to see every continent in a year, maybe you don't have to do that. You know, maybe stretch it out to 10 years. You know, if you do it in 1 year, you might get a cold sore, like I was saying. Another thing this is making me think about is the romanticization. Is that a word? But it's just making me think about romanticizing our goals. One of those words. If only I get that job, I'll be happy. If only I travel the world, I'll find peace. If only if I get that partner, I'll be content. If only I get that house, I'll be respected, so on, so on. If only something positive happens in my life, then you'll be good. But what you may notice is positive things happen and you may want more. That's a whole other conversation. Or you're like still antsy, still have some form of anxiety around it. You know, and it probably is because it took a lot of stressful things to happen to get to that goal in the first place. And, you know, sometimes you are happy in the beginning, but you start realizing or the other impacts of that goal start coming into play a little bit after. In that podcast episode, Dr. Aditi talked about getting a house, recently buying a house, and this was like, great, you know, it's awesome, a great accomplishment to buy a house. And she was exciting and she was really excited and she was running on adrenaline. And then after some while, she was just like overwhelmed and just really stressed. And she said, you know, this is a delayed stress reaction. And that's what happens a lot of times when good things happen. And I used to joke, especially a few years after I moved to Boston, you know, I moved to Boston, got a job, MBA, got into my first really serious relationship. And these were good things. And I was in mostly a good place in my life. Of course, life things happens, both good and bad. But I was in like places where I remember thinking, like, I should be okay. Why am I not okay? And I told people, I would tell a few folks, even I think my therapist, that I think I have residual anxiety, you know? And even, I think I also had residual anxiety from negative things as well. But like, it hit later. And yeah, it's that damn delayed stress reaction, you know, that we get. And I think that's sort of like the illness. Like, the more things that's happening in our lives, in the end, it makes us sicker, unfortunately. So, you know, maybe we need to desire that boring life where it's your friends, family, you're secure. Maybe you have a beautiful trip here and there, or you live in a really nice place. When I say nice, whether if it's nice weather, you know, or accessible, whatever nice is for you, but it's simple. You know, the simple living that I'm sort of curious about. Yeah, so I'm thinking next month when I'm back in Chicago, settled in Chicago, that I probably will have some delayed stress reaction from being in Spain for 2 months. Great thing, right? I found a gym within a week, found a Spanish class and a tutor that I meet with at a cafe. You know, I did a lot of tourist activities. That's what, 1, 2, 3, 4 plus stressors. I want to say that I do not regret doing this. I'm so happy I've done this. I am really happy that I have dedicated a year, or I'm dedicating a year, to travel the world. It's quite the experience, and I'd recommend it to anyone. You know, I feel grateful. I feel blessed. And there's a lot of benefits too with traveling, experiencing new cultures and expanding your horizon, expanding your mind, honestly. But I'm realizing I don't have to do everything at once. You know, I could pace myself in the future if I want to do a little bit more nomadic experience. Maybe I'll stretch it out a little bit more so that the stressors, the burnout doesn't happen. I wouldn't say I'm burnt out. I would say that I'm still in a very peaceful place, but I'm recognizing I am very in tuned with myself. You know, so now at this point in the summer, I'm thinking I might add just one new positive stress, one new change every 8 weeks, because you already know, life already throws you stresses, right? There's going to be stress, life stress, period. So why add two? Just add one. So, you know, there's a few things that I need to figure out. And I'm saying this now because I said I was going to end this nomadic year in June, but I'm already scheming with my sister to do a road trip from Seattle, Washington to Chicago, because YOLO, come on, I'll see all these states. I'll add more states to my list. And I've never been to Montana. I love to go to Montana. Traveling is addicting. Traveling is addictive. But for real, after the summer, I do plan to slow down because I need to figure out my life. And yeah, but I just advise you all to do the same. Just slow down. Really reflect on the stressors in your life. You know, you might be thinking life is good. You know, I just got engaged, or I just graduated, or I just became a grandparent. You know, I just went on a cruise. You know, these are all good things, but they are stressors. They are stressors. So remember, after those moments, to slow down, do some self-care if you can. Actually, one of the women I met yesterday who's been traveling, she says that every time she goes on a trip, when she comes back home, she books a massage. And I was like, good move. That's definitely a good move, because imagine how restorative that is. you know, how healing that is too, because your body goes through a lot when you're traveling, especially if you travel far. And yeah, it's just a way to just, another way to get in tune with your body and to sort of reset, to restabilize. So I know for me, I, like I said, I have some major decisions I'm going to make, like where I'm going to settle, increasing my income or not. You know, I may need to focus on one thing at a time. I mean, I do need to focus on one thing at a time. And I think, you know, I'm considering getting a car once I figure out where I settle, and that's a process. So yeah, 8 weeks at a time. That's what I have to tell myself, 8 weeks at a time. And I don't have to do everything. I know there's sometimes this pressure to do that. I put the pressure on myself. Like, once I get back to Chicago in the summer, I need to, you know, settle at my family's place or my sister's place. That's where I'm thinking of staying more long term for a while. Once I do that, and it, settling at a place takes time. Like, do you need to make it your own in a sense? You know, that is a that's a stressor, positive, but still a stressor. Then if I add a car and dealing with a car payment, because fun fact, I've never had a car, you know, that's something else. So maybe I should wait 8 weeks, you know, aim to get a car 8 weeks after I get back to Chicago. I don't have to do everything. That is really, really resonating with me right now. I need to simmer on this. I don't have to do everything. I don't have to experience everything. I think that's what this is about, ultimately. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. If you enjoyed this, so thanks for tuning in to Beyond Her Grind. If you haven't already, please like, comment, and subscribe to my podcast. And follow me on Instagram at Beyond Her Grind. Until next time, take care of yourself and remember, sometimes less is really more.